But God's desire to have a Christian school here. Amen. And all of you are a part of it in one way or another. Whether you have students here or not. And you know, there's a difference between a Christian school and a regular school. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Because a Christian school is to be overshadowed by the presence of God. Amen. Now, I want to ask another question. I want to see everyone's hand who has a born-again experience with God. If you have been born again and have received the blood of Jesus Christ, raise your hands. A born-again experience with the Lord. Amen. That's great. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? All right, good. I want to talk to you a little bit today about something that the Lord dropped into my heart. And if He put it into my heart, I believe He wants to put it into your heart. And I want to talk to you today about the fear of the Lord. Have you ever heard about the fear of the Lord? Have you? A few amens? If you have heard about the fear of the Lord, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Okay. Amen. Well, now let us turn to, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1,
capítulo 1,
verse 7.
Versículo 7.
It says here in it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we talk about the fear of the Lord, it's not fear that causes you to have terror or to be afraid. Have you ever been afraid of the dark? Have you been afraid of the dark? You know, as a child, I used to be afraid of the dark. Come on. Have you ever been afraid, terrorized, scared? The Bible tells us that fear can have torment. That's the negative aspect of the fear. But when we look into the Word of God, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That fear is a holy, reverential respect for God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
a respect for God who you do not see. Can you see God right now? Can anybody see God? No. You know, God is not like man. God is a spirit. He lives in a realm that is a higher realm than the realm we live in. And yet we know that the Bible tells us that if two or three of us are gathered together in His name, it says that God is in the midst of us. Now, if there was a, I don't know, what do you call it in the Philippines, taverns or bars or what would you have where people go and drink beer or whiskey? What is it called? All right. And you got people there drinking alcohol and they're swearing, they're cussing, they're doing all sorts of wicked things. Now there's two or three gathered there. Is God there? No. Because they're not gathering in His name. Which means nature. The nature of God. Satan's there, but God's not there. Hallelujah. So we have God here right in the midst of us right now. He's as near as I am to Brother Admar. And the Bible also tells us that if we call upon His name, His nature, we will be saved. And that word saved doesn't mean just being born again. It means being delivered. How many of you need help from God every day? Amen. I need God every day of my life. Without God, I can do nothing. Jesus said, all things are possible to those who what? Believe. Believe. Do you know what the word believe means? It's not just thinking in your mind that God exists. You look at me, everyone. I'm 59 years old. And when I was 27 years old, was the day that I became born again. Up to that 27 years of age, I lived a sinner. And I was raised in a religious home. In fact, I was raised Roman Catholic. And I went to church. When I got older, not that much. But I was taught from an early age about God. I was taught from an early age about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I was taught about heaven and hell. And in my mind, I believed it. But in my heart, I didn't live it. Because when you look in the Word of God, and you look at the word believe, it is a Greek word in the New Testament, and that word believe means three things: to trust in, to adhere to, like glue, and to rely upon. That's what believe means. God was somewhere out there in my life until I became born again. And the night that I became born again, then began the fear of God in my life. Because God became real. So real that He was now my Heavenly Father. If the President of the Philippines came here right now, would you keep sitting? Huh? What if all of a sudden the President came right up here? Would you ignore him? Or is it a her? Is it a him? It's a him? Alright, it's a him. Praise the Lord. No, you wouldn't just be talking to your neighbors. There's the President. Right? You would give the utmost respect because he's the President. When we talk about the fear of God, you and I should have that same respect, even much, much more than the President of the Philippines, because he's the God of all the universe. He's the God that made you and I. He's the God that sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for us and to save us and redeem us from our sins. Hallelujah. We should never allow God to become common to us. And the way he can become common to us is if we pay no attention to him. Do you know you have to work at a relationship with God? Huh? Is that true? Is that true? Think of it. I am married to my wife of 40 years. We've been married 40 years. I would not have a good relationship with my wife unless we both worked at loving one another. I think you can relate to that, can't you? If you have a spouse, you need to work at your relationship to love one another. You're all so quiet. Isn't that true? Huh? And some relationships are more difficult than others, right? But God teaches us about His love. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it says, "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That word knowledge, that word knowledge is something of a perception or a discernment or an awareness. Do you remember I told you that God is here, we don't see Him? Right? But you know, if we fear God, though we don't see Him with our eyes, we can see Him through our heart. Amen? That is why when we begin to worship God, do you know it's very important when you come to a meeting like this that you begin to lay down all your thoughts, all your worries, all your cares, and get your mind thinking on God. Do you know what happens when you do that? What you are doing is you are opening your heart up to God. Do you know why it's important for us to praise God? The Bible tells us that God inhabits or dwells in the midst of the praises. So we open ourselves up to God and we say, "Lord, I love You. God then comes into us." How do we know that? Because the Bible in Jeremiah says, "Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you." Can we say amen? Hallelujah. But you know, sometimes God can draw near to us because we got blockages in our lives. We have darkness within us that we need to get rid of. Do any of you have darkness inside of you? Yes? You got darkness inside of you? Yes? Boy, she's honest. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else got darkness inside of you? Evil thoughts? Imaginations? Huh? Sins that you have committed? The Bible also tells us that our sins separate us from God. Is anyone here totally without sin? Raise your hand. Look around. Do you see anybody raising their hands? No. So, we need to do something about it, don't we? How many of you want to draw near to God? Amen? Amen? Okay, then what we need to do, we need to open up our hearts to God. Because when we sin, we open our hearts to the devil. Do you know that? Yes, we do. We open ourselves up to the devil every time that we sin. But praise be to God, God has made a provision for us. In the Epistle of John, the word says that if any man, that means any man, any woman, any child, if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Do you know what an advocate is? Advocate. Is that what they call in your Philippine Bible an advocate?
Just like attorney.
Attorney. a representative or a spokesperson. And who is that spokesperson? But Jesus Christ the righteous. And the Bible tells us that if we confess our sin, He is just and able to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So we have an avenue to get rid of sin in our lives. Now remember, God can't look upon sin. So when we sin, it's like God looks away from us. And truly, we should be ashamed when we sin. But if we harden our hearts, do you know what harden your hearts mean? Anybody? Have you ever hardened your heart? Have you hardened your heart? Have you gotten mad at somebody? And you're unwilling to forgive them? Have you ever experienced that? That's hardening your heart. And when that is when you sin and you refuse to repent of your sin. And it does something inside of us of darkness that is, inherently evil, or something that continues to bring more darkness into us. Let me tell you this. Do you know why God wants to save you or has saved you? What was His purpose? What was His purpose in saving you? Was it just to get you to heaven?
Huh?
What's that? For us not to go to hell. Well, a lot of people get saved because they don't want to go to hell. But that's not the purpose why God saved us. He what?
Because we are the child of God.
There you go. Because God wants to make us His sons. For in John chapter 1, the Word of God says that how does it start? That whosoever shall believe on his name, or for as many as believed on his name, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. No longer the son of the devil. But when you believe on his name, he says, I've given you power now. Power to become a children of God. This girl, this lady knows her word. Amen. Praise the Lord. God doesn't want you to remain children. He wants you to become mature sons of God. Amen. How many of you have children here? I have grandchildren. Raise your hand. We got children. Oh yes, okay. All right. Do you expect your child to remain a baby all of its life? Wouldn't you take it to the doctor and say, something's wrong? This child's not growing. This child's 10 years old and he's still this size. But sad to say, a lot of Christians are like little babies that never grow up. And do you know why they don't grow up? Because they don't walk and feed off of the Word of God. They don't walk in obedience to His Spirit. And they're not willing to give up the Adamic nature or the sin life. Hallelujah. Of course, none of you are like that, are you? I see you're all so obedient children of God, aren't you? Huh? You don't sin. You don't have struggles. Huh? Of course, we all do. Brethren, I'm sharing something with you today that God is wanting to awaken all of us. He is wanting us to draw closer to Him. But if we don't have a holy, awesome respect of God, how can we serve Him? How many of you get up in the morning and immediately you think, I need to pray, I need to read the Word of God? That's something we need to have as the first and foremost thought in our minds. Does the devil give you trouble? Does the devil give you trouble? Well, let me put it a little more clear. Do you have trouble in your life? Do you have struggles in your thinking? Do you have problems in your emotions? Do you have problems in your desires? Huh? Then that means that the devil is giving you trouble. Hallelujah. Do you think that the devil just lays down his life and lets you go on and live your life the way you want to? When you become a child of God, you automatically become an enemy to God's to the devil's kingdom.
Kita
When Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, Peter, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. Do you know what a sifter is? A sifter. A sifter. In the United States, we have a little metal machine. Right. We have a little metal machine that people that cook foods. When they want to make a cake and they want to make fine flour, they put the flour in the top, and it's got four or five different screens. It's got little agitators, and it's got a little handle that you push back and forth real quick. And all those things start to work, and all that flour comes out and goes through all the tiny little holes, and out of the bottom comes fine powder. Now the Bible, Jesus said to Peter, the devil desires to sift you, Peter, as wheat. And you could put your name there instead of Peter's. We are no friends of the devil. But that's the negative side. If we left it there, we would be sort of hopeless, wouldn't we? But Jesus said to Peter, what did he say? Jesus said, but Peter, I have prayed for you that I will keep you in the midst of what the devil wants to try to do to you. That's why Jesus said, greater is he. When Jesus says, greater is he, who's he? God. Greater is God who is within you than he. Who's he? The devil. Than he, the devil, who is in the world. So we don't have to fear the devil, but we need to fear God. Amen. You know, I think we need to pray today and repent. Because we don't fear God the way we should. We don't fear God as we should when we come together. We don't fear God as we should when we're in our homes. We don't fear God as we should when we're with other people. Now, I don't know you personally on your day-to-day business, but I know myself. And I know that I have to stay so close to God. It's the only way I stay out of trouble. Do you know what I'm saying? I think you know what I'm saying, brother. I don't go to bars. I don't do a lot of worldly things.
But
I have to watch what I think. I got to watch how I react to things. I got to put all my trust in God so that when something bad happens, I will manifest Christ and not myself. No amen? Come on. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you this. Do the Filipino people have a problem with anger? I heard a few amens here, no amens back here. So none of you ever get angry, huh? Sister, you ever get angry? Huh? You got a little boy, you can't help but get angry sometimes, right? Hey, I've had children. You tell children. Children can be a trial, right? Oh, but maybe all your children are perfect all the time.
Huh?
Come on. Our children challenge us. Our children rebel against us. And we start to see what's in our hearts by the way we react. Have you ever been ashamed of yourself by the way you acted by something very little that has happened? Huh? Have you? I'm looking at you, young lady. Have you? Yeah? You know, what I'm saying here is how much we really need God in our lives. I mean, we're fighting the nature of the Adamic nature within us, which we call darkness. So without God, we have no hope. But with God, all things are possible. I can be delivered from sin. I can be delivered from anger. I could be delivered from all thoughts that are not good. Because God has given each one of us a free will to decide. You have a free will to make your own mind up whether you will get down on your knees and pray or you won't. Just like you had a free will to come here today. And sometimes we come and we don't really know why we're coming. Until as we sit here and there's a certain desire for God, and then God comes and begins to speak into our hearts. You see, brethren, I want to share something with you. I had no idea what I was going to share with you today. But what I say, it's not just words that I speak. Because the Spirit of God is within me. And so as I speak, and as I speak the words of God to you, God's Spirit is going into your hearts and your minds and ministering to you the very word that each one of you need. Amen. Because see, brethren, I have no idea what God wants to do in each of your lives. I have no idea, but God does know. And God makes an avenue and He makes a way to not only want to speak to you, but to bring life and resurrection life to each one of you. Amen. Amen. I want us to go to another scripture verse. It's in the book of Deuteronomy.
What do you got there for me? Okay. All right, praise the Lord.
It is Deuteronomy chapter... it's chapter 10.
Sa kapitulo 10 sa Deuteronomio, sa daan na tugon.
Now, I want to tell you something. Everybody knows about the country of Israel? Raise your hands. Israel. God's chosen nation. There was a natural Israel that God had made and still exists to this day. But the Bible that we have speaks not only of the natural, but of the spiritual. So when God in the Word of God says, and He talks to natural Israel, He's also speaking to spiritual Israel. And we are spiritual Israel because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So let us begin to read in verse 12 of chapter 10. And it says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul."
O karon Israel, unsa ang kinahanglan sa Ginoo nga imong Dios kanimo? Kun dili ang paghadlok sa Ginoo nga imong Dios, ang paglakaw sa tanang mga dala niya ug ang paghigugma kaniya ug ang pagalagad sa Ginoo nga imong Dios sa bugos mong kasing-kasing ug sa bugos mong kalag.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're to what's required of all of us. What we read right here is what God says is a requirement for each one of us. But to fear the Lord, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And And it says in verse 13 that we're to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Down in verse 16, it continues on and says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. And be no more stiff-necked. You know what stiff-neck means? Being rigid. Not bendable. Not pliable in the spirit. So we are to love the Lord thy God. Amen.
Amen.
To love Him with all of our hearts. Didn't Jesus say that? They came to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, the greatest commandment is this, that you are to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Amen. So brethren, the Spirit of God is wanting to impart life to us today. And when we fear Him, when we open our hearts up to Him, He wants to come into us. He wants to not only dwell with us, but He wants to feed with us. He wants to interact with us. How, my question to you, how real is God to you? Think about what I'm saying. How real is He to each one of you here? If He's not as real as He should be, I challenge you today, when you leave here, go into a room by yourself and kneel down and say to God, I don't feel as close as I should be with you, God. Make yourself real to me, God. If you pray that prayer and believe it, God is going to come to you in a greater way than you ever experienced in your life. Amen. How many of you want to know God in a greater way? I see a few hands raised up. 4 hands, 5, 7. Okay, praise the Lord. I think we should pray. They're laughing. What was that?
I thank God that everybody raised up.
Oh, you thank them. Okay. Praise the Lord. Can we stand and can we open our hearts up to God? I think we should.